think about Jesus. There's just a few things I want to share this morning. But before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. God, our Father, we come now at this time that we take time to just hear what you would have to say to us. Lord, this moment is a moment where lives are tinkering between good and bad, up and down. So, Lord, we pray right now that this moment is used to help somebody come to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, thank you for being my redeemer, and thank you for being my strength. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Our text this morning is coming from the New Testament, Philippians 1st chapter, verses 3 through 11. Let me read it for your hearing. I'm going to start at verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for all, for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart since both my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. You are all partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness, how I long for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of our God. Glass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Don't know if many of you remember the telephone repair man. You know, the ones that climb those poles and either mess something up or fix something. But in order to climb those poles, it requires a unique skill and training. The pole climber has to be able to manipulate and maneuver himself on that pole. And they have to manipulate and go up and down that pole. And when you look at it, it looks kind of easy when they are doing it, but it is a very dangerous task. One misstep, and man, do you have trouble. Some of it look at it as easy, but when you talk to a repair man, he explained to you that the maneuver is really not that easy. First of all, that person has to have shoes that have spikes. Those spikes go into the pole. Their training taught them to, when they're climbing the pole, to rest against the belt so that they could get a good, firm implant into the pole. This particular pair of person says, because he's been doing it for 30 years, he says, when I was young, I got to admit that I really didn't do it the way they said to do it. He said he just didn't trust the belt that the company had assigned. So instead of resting in the belt, he would slide down the post. And as a result, he got quite a few splinters sliding down that post. Some of those splinters was in some tender places. Grandma said, a hard head makes a soft amen. Splinters hurt. Sometimes it's those little bitty splinters that you just can't get rid of. They're irritating and they hurt. Many of us today, because we have trust issues as that repairman have, we keep getting splinters in our own lives. Things keep sticking us that we can't get over. Stuff just bothers us that we just can't get through. Stuff that just gets in on our nerves. We just can't stand this and we can't stand that, and we don't want to be around this person and we don't want to have nothing to do with that person. That person got issues and oh, they throwed off person and all of those things. We still struggle ourselves with many issues. And today we struggle with that those issues because of our lack of trust in God. We don't think anybody is better. We don't think anybody's got going on anything. But when we are looking to trust God, we struggle. We do what the repairman does. We ignore the instructions. We try to rest on what we know. We try to rest on what we experienced. And today, some of us can testify that we have experienced some of our own splinters when we've tried to do something the right way. It's because somewhere along the line we had trust issues, and those trust issues have shown up with God. We won't give him our money. We won't give him our trouble at the house. We won't give him our trouble on the job. We got that mentality that I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to let him know who T.I. is at right now. We can't trust God to take care of our issues. And when we don't, we wind up getting the splinters that come with lack of trust. And so while you pray with me this morning, and you pray for me this morning, I want to spend just a few minutes talking about how to build your confidence in God. How to build your confidence in God. There are some biblical imperatives here in this text that would help us to know how to build our confidence in God, how to trust God. This letter was written by the Apostle Paul. It's the first church that he found on his second journey, his missionary journey. He had a fond affection for this particular body of believers because they supported him spiritually and they supported him financially in his ministry. These band of believers were so important to him, he spent time with counseling them. He had issues that they had to deal with, and he would tell them to resolve those issues by being of the same mind and remember that love exists in unity, and it helps with the faith. He also had some issues with them not trying to take care of each other, and he would encourage them to look out for the interests of the others. And then there was a particular word that he used in this letter that kept showing up over and over again, and that word is joy, rejoice. And over 16 times, Paul would write about joy to this body of believers. He would write that, rejoice always, again, I say rejoice. And today we want to examine a couple of imperatives that Paul is showing, or sharing, I should say, with these band of believers that deals with their trust in God, that deals with their issues. And so in verse 6 of this text, it reads, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Here, Paul is letting them know that he has confidence in their walk with God. His letter that he is writing is in response to the gift that was sent to him by Epaphroditus, who was a member of this church in Philippi. So Paul is responding and he's encouraging them by reminding them of how it all began. And he says, I'm confident of this very thing, that he, God, who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And when you see he began a good work, that speaks to salvation. Salvation is from God, it's not from us. Salvation is God's powerful act of love toward humanity that no one can match. O.S. Hawkins, a writer, he firmly writes it this way. He says, salvation is from start to finish, from first to last, the work of God himself. Salvation is a process, that's sanctification. It's a process of being made holy. It's ongoing. It sets us apart. So he says to them, God begins this work in you. God did it. God's power did it. You and I didn't do it. God did it. And so what he's trying to get them to understand is the genesis of where they are in their walk with the Lord. Warren Risby, a noted theologian, addressed salvation this way. He says, the more we know builds us up. The power of salvation is a threefold work. The work God does for us is salvation. The work God does in us is sanctification. The work God does through us is service. It's the power of God. That Hebrew name that we see in Genesis 1 and 1 is Elohim. That describes the strong one. Matter of fact, it's the very first name recorded in the Bible that talks about God. It says, in the beginning, God. God was here before there was a here, a there, a when, or a where. There was God. Dr. Tony Evans put it this way. God stamped his image on us. Flowers are not in his image. Beasts are not in his image. Fish are not in his image. Only humanity has the awesome privilege and capacity to mirror God. God did it. In Colossians 1 and 16, it says, through his power, all things were made. Things in heaven, on earth, seen and not seen. All spiritual rulers, lords, powers, and authorities. Everything was made through him and for him. God elevated man to this level. We have more power than we ever need or use. God's power has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Philippians 2:13 says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. But yet, we struggle. We struggle because we don't trust God's power. We struggle because we're living in an age of quick fixes. We're living in an age where you can go get something done, and if you can't get it done in 5 minutes, you're asking questions. If you can't get it done in one day, you're asking questions. We can't trust things. We can't allow things to matter. And some of that is because you can go and get all of your quick fixes on Facebook. You can do the social media craze and get things done pretty quick. They made it easy for you to buy stuff. They made it easy for you to get rid of things. They made it easy. So you can't trust and linger and wait for things. This government that we're in now is a madhouse because everybody wants to do things right away and mess things up. We've learned in this environment that we can't wait on God. We want things. We want it now. We don't want it tomorrow. We want it right now. God, this person is ignorant, and I need you to deal with them right now. That ain't how God deal with it. We're in an age where everything's got to be the right now. Nobody wants to wait. Nobody wants to allow God to do what God does.
God, hurry up. They getting on my nerves. Hurry up. I haven't had a job in 1 week. Hurry up. I can't wait on you, God. I need you to do something now. And we struggle because we don't trust God. We struggle with discipling someone because we ignore God's power. We've identified somebody and we're not going to talk to them because we don't know what God's going to do. Well, that's the point. We don't know what God's going to do. But what we do know is what we ought to do. And what we do, what we ought to do, God takes care of the rest of it. Amen. That's the kind of power that we have in God. Amen. Our trust issues is because we don't trust God's power. We lean on our own understanding. We think we know it all. And if we don't know it all, we can go read it and find out what it all is. We read everything but the Word of God. We look at everything but the Word of God. And we find ourselves leaning to our own understanding. And in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. We need the power of God to lead and guide us. We struggle with following God, the God of the Bible, because we say, oh, it ain't done that way no more. Yeah, no, it was done that way then. It's done that way now. We follow a God who knows everything. He's omniscient. Matter of fact, Ecclesiastes 9 and 1 backs that up. And the writer says, but all this I lay to heart, examining it all, how the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hand of God. Whether it is love or hate, man does not know. Both are before him. We don't know nothing. We don't know what God's going to do, so we have to trust him. We have to trust him by building confidence in what he does. I like the way Dr. Tony Evans crystallized this for me. He said, if God is powerful enough to get you to heaven, then he's powerful enough to sustain you on earth. Amen. That's the power of God. The songwriter says, build your hopes on things eternal. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. You need to recognize God's power. The next thing that the text is teaching us is that you need to, if you're going to build your confidence, you need to recognize God's purpose. Here in verse 6, it says that he began a good work in you and will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. This good work, God's purpose. Jesus called disciples to follow him, and he gave them a purpose. He called them one at a time. He called them two at a time. He called them, and he put them to work to understand what their cause was. And the disciples struggled with it. They had issues. And in Mark 10, verses 39 through 48, Jesus had to deal with some of their issues. And it says, but it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. What's the purpose? Good works is to serve. Good works, don't think of yourself. Good works means that you're looking out for the other person. So if you're trying to build your confidence in God, know the purpose of what God wants you to do. God's plan is good works. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God ain't hiding his plan. It's in the Bible. You need to read it. He ain't hiding it up under a bush. Matter of fact, it's out there, and it's out there in a whole lot of different languages. You ain't got to say, I don't know. No. His plan is written in the Bible, and you got access to it online. You got access to it at the bookstore. Grandma's Bible, you can still read. Grandpa's Bible, you can still read. His desire and purpose ain't here. Yes. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Many of us are still clueless because we're trying to find some hidden agenda of God. We're still trying to figure out what God wants me to do. I just read to you what God wants you to do. And you ain't got to be a biblical scholar. You ain't got to go to seminary. Just be saved. Let God work in you. And he gonna give you every opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. He's gonna give you every opportunity. You just got to be able to understand that this is how God wants to use you to tell somebody about a man named Jesus. Here it is, right in God's word. I've seen how when you capture your purpose, when God speaks to you and you see your purpose and what it does to a life and how it transforms a life. My oldest daughter, when that happened, she was a senior in high school. And when she decided what she wanted to do with her career, I ain't had to go to school no more. I ain't had to talk to no more teachers. I ain't had to have no more meetings. Teachers, counselors would tell my daughter when she's cutting up, do I need to call your daddy? They knew my first name. But when she found or discovered, I should say, what she wanted to do and her purpose, she took off. I ain't had to say nothing else. And because she understood that she needed to be in the medical field and help somebody, that's what she did. And God has blessed her beyond what we even could think or dream. But when she settled into her purpose, nothing held her back. And I thought about just what God did in her life and then in the lives of people, that once they know what the Lord wants you to do, can't nobody stop you, can't nobody deter you, can't nobody leave you alone. You're going to be talking about it all the time. But it's not mystical. It's not hidden. It's in his word. Yeah. Purpose. Yeah. So if you're going to build your confidence, you must recognize your purpose in God. Moreover, if you're going to build your confidence, you must depend on God's presence. Here in verse 6, it says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. That word perfect essentially means bring to an end. It's an accomplishment. It means that God is going to work on you until he decides it's the end. He's going to work on you until he decides. That word, they snuck it in there, it says until, and until is until. Until he gets there. Until he brings it to an end. Our lives are not project managed. We don't have a start and a finish, and you got to have checkpoints where you got to do that. That's not a project managed. God got too much for us to do to be project managed, to be confined to a project. God got too much for us to do. And matter of fact, you've all experienced that. You'll leave here and just find somebody on the corner and they just need a dollar. Give them a dollar. That ain't good. You get home and somebody call you and say, can you help me? I need to pay my rent. And you'll pay your rent. God is not telling you to get ready on Sunday afternoon. I'm going to have somebody to call you and they're going to make sure that you help them out. And then when you do that, then you're going to go to the next thing. That ain't the way God operates. Stuff show up. It do. It show up. And one Sunday, y'all, I was at the Lubas. It was the Lubas up here a long time ago. In line, and I'm trying to get home. I'm trying to get my stuff together. I'm home, going home. There was a brother in Luby's at the end of the line. Smooth brother. I had my stuff, and you know, he said, well, good afternoon, brother. I said, well, good afternoon, man. And I'm trying to get my stuff so I can go. And he said, oh, it's a blessed day in the Lord, isn't it? Okay, Lord, you know I'm trying to get to this fish. Yeah, brother, it's a good day. It's a good day. And he said, yeah, it's a good day, even for somebody that don't have no place to stay. I said, oh, Lord. That's how God operates. Not your agenda, but his agenda. And y'all, that brother got me. I had to give up something. But what got me is that I wasn't expecting it, but that's just what the way the Lord operates. So in our journey, there is no project management places. God operates bigger than that. And he sends us opportunities. And we need to understand that whenever he sends those opportunities, he's present with us. He's with us. And the good news is that whatever God started in us, he's dedicated to finishing it. So what he starts, he's going to complete it on his terms. And along the way, he's going to treat us the way we need to be treated. And what do you mean by that? Goodness and favor, grace and mercy is going to follow us all the days of our life. And when we do what God has called us to do, God will take care of us. And so when you think about God's presence in your life, you have to kind of look at a couple of things that God does. One of the great promises of Scripture is found in Matthew 28 and 20. It says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. His presence never leaves us. He's with us. He's omnipresent. The writer of Psalms 139 kind of realized the depth of that. And in verse 7, it says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. He's the God that looks out after us. And the last thing I need you to see here in this text is a letter that Paul that helps us to build our confidence in God. Paul here, this text in verse 9. In verse 3 and 4, he talked about praying for the believers. And then verse 9, he tells them what he's praying about. And I thought about Paul taking time to do that, but when you read some of his letters, Paul talks about prayer quite a bit. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16, he talks about praying without ceasing. In Philippians 4 and 6, he says, in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And then in Ephesians 6 and 18, he says, pray in the spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Paul is making it known that you and I, if we're going to gain our trust or increase our trust in God, we got to pray. We got to stay on the bended knee. We've got to pray about everything. And we've got to pray that all things are going to work together. And see, here in this prayer, this is what Paul prays for. He says, I pray for your love to abound more. I pray that you grow in knowledge and discernment. I pray that you keep things excellent. I pray that you don't waste your time on unimportant issues.
that you grow in your sincerity and in your love for God. A sincere prayer from a preacher who's concerned about a body of believers. And I read that and I thought about Sunday mornings here at Good Hope. There was a late deacon, his name was Rudy White. And whenever I would see Deacon White coming in, I said, "Good morning, Deke." He said, "Well, good morning, Bill. I'm all right. And I was better when I called your name in prayer." And that told me, boy, somebody praying for me. And I don't know about you, but it's a good thing to know that somebody is praying for you. Do you know somebody that has prayed for you? Do you know somebody that had you on their mind? That they told the Lord to take care of you. Old song says, "I'm so glad that the preacher prayed for me. I'm so glad that the deacon prayed for me. I'm so glad that mama and daddy prayed for me." And when they pray for you, you know that somebody has you on their mind. Thank God that somebody prayed for me. Now, I know some of us in here are introverted and you know, we just, silence is golden to us. And I understand that. And I understand that when you are introverted, that's okay. But you can't be introverted with God. You got to talk to him. You got to spend some time with him. You got to read his word and let him talk to you. And then you got to spend some time talking to him. Old songs, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your trouble. He'll hear and answer prayer. Just a little talk with Jesus will make it all right. You got to talk to him. You got to let him know how you're feeling. You got to let him know that you're having some trouble down here. You got to let him know that you need him to help you to get through it. You need to let him know that I need you right now, Lord. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, but right now. I need you to come where I am right now. You got to spend some time with him. You got to talk to him. You got to look here. It don't mean you got to be on bended knee. You can be walking and talking to him. Lord, look here. It ain't right now. I need some help right now. Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out. Touch me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I don't know what's going to happen. You got to talk to him. You got to spend some time with him. And when you spend time with him, your confidence gets better. When you spend time with him, the heavy load gets lifted. When you spend time with him, your burdens get lighter. When you spend time with him, you got to depend on him in prayer. And when you depend on him in prayer, sometimes you got to have a little pep talk. Somebody might call that a praise talk, but I call it a little pep talk. You know, a pep talk is when a team is meeting before they go to get on the field. The coach will fire them up, get them all riled up, give them a good pep talk. And then they go out there and they may or may not win. But when you have a little talk with Jesus, every time you're going to win. Every time he's going to lift you up. And you have a little talk to him. And when you have a little talk to him, you'll find out that he'll help you to trust him more. When you have a little talk with him, you'll find out that he'll give you the assurance that you need. When you talk to him, you know, and when you talk to him, sometimes you got to take a panoramic view of what he's done for you. So that when you start talking, you ain't begging, you're thanking him. Thank you, Lord, that you woke me up this morning. Thank you, Lord, that I slept all right last night. Thank you, Lord, that I went to the doctor and all is well. Thank you, Lord, that all my troubles that you have fixed. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought me a mighty long way. Thank you. And you give yourself a pep talk. And when you give yourself that pep talk, you start building your confidence in God. You get a little more trust in him. You don't slump over, you stand up straight. And you walk like you are somebody. You walk like you're a child of God. You walk like that everything wrong, but God is. God is the one that can take care of me. Matter of fact, God is the one that has taking care of me. Talk to yourself. Lord, I don't know how these crazy folk don't do, but you've been taking care of me, and Lord, I'm going to count on you to keep on taking care of me. Talk to him. Walk around and tell him, Lord, you've been good to me. Lord, I didn't know I was going to make it this far, but it's because of you that I've made it. Lord, thank you. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me like I am. Thank you, Lord. Give yourself a pep talk. Tell yourself everything is all right. Tell yourself, yes, Lord, you have brought me a mighty long way. Talk to yourself. Let him know that you appreciate him. Let him know that you didn't know how it was going to work out, but you worked it out. I like that story of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was facing problems, and it didn't look like God was going to deliver Israel. And so in 2 Chronicles 20:12, this is what he prayed. Oh, our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Sometimes you don't know what to do, but you got to keep your eyes on the one that can do it. You can't shut him out. You got to keep talking to him. Like, Lord, I don't know how this thing gonna work out, but it needs to work out. And if you work it out, it's gonna be to my favor. I don't know what that looked like, but I'm gonna keep my eyes on you. And so when you start praying, and you give God all of your issues, and you put all of the issues in his lap, and you can say to him, I don't know what you're going to do with all this, but I'm going to keep my eyes on you. And if I keep my eyes on you, the text, the Romans says, all things work together for good that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Last thing I want to share with you is a story about blessings and burdens. It's a story that crystallized this message for me. It gives a visible image that helps me to build confidence and prayerfully help you. There was a pastor that visited one of his elderly widows to check on her. And when he went to the house, he was just going to spend a few minutes and have prayer with her. But when he got there, he noticed that there were 2 jars that she had on the table. And one of the jars had a few beads in them, and the other jar was pretty full. And so, you know, the pastor spent a little time talking. But before he left, his curiosity got to him. He said, now, sister, what's that there about? What's this about? These 2 jars. What's going on here with that? And she says, well, Pastor, in my life, I've had a lot of burdens and a lot of blessings. And so when you look at those jars, the one on the left that has a few burdens, a few beads, those are my burdens. But the one on the right, that's nearly full, is my blessings. So every time I look at these jars, I'm reminded and assured that God has taken care of me through all of my burdens, all of my misfortunes, and guess what? All of them, my blessings still outweigh. And so if you're trying to build confidence in God, you and I need to understand that God takes care of our burdens, and he gives us more blessings than we can take in. Yeah. How to build your confidence in God. How to remember that God is who he says he is, and you can trust him in the little and in the big. You can trust him when you don't have answers,
keep your eyes on him. You can trust him when your loved one is in the hospital and you don't know how it's going to end up. Keep your eyes on him. You can trust him when the money run low. Keep your eyes on him. You can trust him when things just went south and you don't know how they went south, but you're leaning on him to bring it back to where it needs to be. You can trust him. And God will take care of you. How do you build up your confidence in God? Recognize his power. Recognize his purpose. Depend on his presence. And depend on prayer. Let us pray. God, we come now thanking you for the power of your word today. Thanking you for showing us that you have purpose for us, Lord. Showing us that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Showing us that the power within us comes from you, and we can trust you in the little and in the big. Thank you for the gift of prayer, that we can lay our burdens at the altar. Thank you for the gift of prayer that we can come talk to you morning, noon, and night. That we can talk to you through the tears. We can talk to you through the uncertainties. That we can talk to you and tell you about our struggles. Thank you that your word tells us that you're going to hear our cry and that you're going to answer by and by. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us afresh that we can have confidence in the Lord God Almighty. That started everything in the beginning. In the strong and wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen.